You might have observed that this parable is one of the well-known parables, Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. You have heard me say that the scholars, because the word says that the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, beside women and children. The women and the children were not counted. And so the number, as you have heard me earlier with the kids, might have gone up to 20,000. So Jesus feeding over nearly 20,000. And it is very important that we look at this text, and it's the only parables, I'm sorry, not parables, it's the only miracles that is mentioned by all the evangelists. The four gospels, they have recorded this. It's the only miracles that in the New Testament that all the evangelists have recorded. So how important this is. And you may think it's just a miracle. But I tell you, these miracles is very important that we look at it, because the question is that, do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus fed these 5,000 people? Because not everybody believes it. Even the best scholars that we have read, who call themselves Christians, didn't believe in these miracles. They look at it as a myth, some of them. Some of them took it as an ethical teaching of Jesus, teaching good works, how to do good works. And so if Jesus just is only a good teacher and then he can never save us, he is not the divine Savior who claims to have come from heaven. And so therefore it is very important that you have a faith in Jesus Christ, who really had performed these miracles, and together with other miracles. And some of us who work in universities or go to university or work in highly sophisticated places. So if you share this with people, they may laugh at you. They don't believe this to be a true account of Jesus' actions and ministry. But for us who have come to believe in the supernatural Jesus, is so important. Because here Jesus demonstrates to us in this that his power has no limit. His power has no limit. And he himself bears the marks of God here on earth. So what is the background to Jesus? Because this miracle actually centers on Jesus having compassion for people, on people. Where do we find this? Bridget read it to us beautifully today. That God himself has proclaimed to us all that he is the Lord. This is what the Lord has commanded. So this is not. So this is what he said. This is what he has proclaimed. He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. So this is God who is proclaiming his name. He is compassionate, he is gracious, he is loving, he is slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness. And Jesus resembled this himself. And so, how did he go about performing this miracle, Jesus? The first thing that Jesus was interacting with a lot of people. He just heard that John the Baptist was beheaded, and then he withdrew. And as a result, as he got into a boat, he crossed, he wanted to go very far because the people had bad intentions. They want to make him a king. He didn't want to be made a king. He didn't come to be an earthly king. You see? And so he crossed the Sea of Galilee. That is Tiberias. There's another name for it. And so he crossed, And then the people realized that Jesus was crossing to go very far from them. And then they went around ahead of him, running, rushing in big numbers. And as Jesus landed on the shore, he saw these multitudes. He saw them, and the Bible says, when he saw this large crowd, he had compassion on them. He had compassion because that is his character. That is who he is. He's compassionate. He's not a cruel master who will just go a moral teacher like the Pharisees, who would just want to burden people, don't do this and don't do this. You see? Unable even to help people to change themselves, to meet the needs of the people. But Jesus, unlike these leaders and other religious leaders, he has compassion on the people. And so here, this is how he went about this. First, when the evening approached, we are told, because now the disciples and Jesus, they have been together for the whole day. Jesus healing their sick, ministering to them, teaching them. This is what the other gospel have shared with us, that Jesus was teaching through the day, healing their sicknesses. And as the evening approaches, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it is already getting late." Now, first of all, we see the compassion of Jesus. Secondly, we see the disciples and their limitations. You see? So they are confronted with the realities. The fact that the place is remote and is very far, and they can, and these people, they have no food, they have no place to go. And the only thing they could think about, they did a little bit of good thing. They assessed the situation. They realized that this is going to be huge. There is a huge need here. There is a huge need here. But they are confronted with this condition, the remoteness of the place. It's getting evening, and they don't have enough resources to feed these people or to cater for them. Does that sound like what we see around us all the time? So we are no any different from these people. So our human limitness or limitations cause us always to think like those scholars who would think that Jesus cannot perform this miracle because it's too big a miracle. Because Jesus is going to use only 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. How on earth someone could do something like that? By natural mind and thinking. You see, it's just so impossible. And we are called not to walk by faith, by sight, but by faith. Because if we commit this into our mental processing, we will never be able to get anywhere, isn't it? And so the only thing we will get, we will be discouraged and we will be saying, "Yeah, I'm done with this and I can't be part of a system like this that believes in things like this." And I was falling short of calling it, in their terms, nonsense, isn't it? But we are a people who are called to believe in what really seem to be like ridiculous. Because the God we worship is able. Is able to work against all the conditions that you can ever think of. The place is remote, is desolate, the resources are scarce. And the only thing we could do, we could help this situation by making it so worse, isn't it? Send them away. Send the crowds away, oh Lord Jesus. And here man is doing his clever things, isn't it? Even admonishing God, telling God what to do. And so I spend a lot of time thinking about this. Even in our prayers, we ask God to bless us the ways that we want him to bless us with. Isn't it? So we give him the details on how he should bless us. That is what really the disciples were trying to do. Send them away. instead of saying, what shall we do? No, send them away, because we are too clever. We know everything. That is the thing that works against us all the time, because even our knowledge can work against us. And sometimes it's better not to know anything, isn't it? It's very good, like when you are invited to go to preach to another congregation, that you have no any collections of any of their affairs. You see, and you go there, boom, then you are just preaching the very problem that they are facing. And then they look to each other. I had one example, like there was a guy who was smoking, and maybe in Cairo, and some people say to me, most of you are. I was just told that. So this guy, he was going to this gathering, and then the preacher would say, oh, you are smoking. And then this guy, he would turn to his roommate and would say, have you been telling the preacher that I'm smoking? No, he didn't tell her. And so the disciples were trying to tell God what to do. Even they said, send them away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. That is the only thing we can do. That is the human limitness. So now we see the compassion of Christ and then the limitness or the limitations of man in his thinking. You see, and here we will see how Jesus would go about performing these miracles. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. They do not need to go away. What a wonderful reply from Jesus. That even you, when other people would say, you see, does that sound familiar to you in the scriptures? Don't bother the master, your daughter is dead, you see? All things is bad. Jesus would say, just only believe, you see? Only believe. These are the replies of Christ all the time. You see, women caught in adultery brought before him, and people want to stone her to death. And what would Jesus say? Because that is the only thing that the man can do in righteousness. The man who cannot save and cannot deliver, you see, would want to hinder the very one who is able to forgive and to wash white as snow. The one who can defend you, the one who has made you, and whose your future lies with him. Is the one who has the power to condemn you to death and also to rescue you and seated you with him in heavens on the throne. So who shall we go for, man or Jesus? Even in this world in which we live, if we continue believing the political system or even the medical system, or even if we are to believe our theologians or to believe our philosophers, and there are many of them, even people in Sudan, they are following an atheist, a guy in Sydney who called himself to be one of the top atheists. You see, people are following him. He's well known. His name was Duke or something like that. Hear Jesus himself saying, and we heard this earlier with the kids, whoever the Father gives to me, I will not send away. And here in this multitude, there are potential followers of Christ. Even some of them, they were coming because they were wanting to make him a king so that they can have this provision continuously, isn't it? To be fed and to be healed. You see, why would you want to let go? And Jesus, if he was another leader who potentially is going to have a huge following, that he can form a political movement, so he would have enough numbers, isn't it? And would find himself like one of the, like secure with his throne on earth. But that was not what he came for. But he told his disciples that these people do not need to go away. They have come to the right persons. And also, If they go out, and I think Mark brought that out clearly, if they go, they may faint on the streets at night. They may find all the shop closed, let alone if they have money. And Jesus, he knew that. So now the situation is difficult, even it's going to be even more difficult for them. And he wouldn't do that. That is why he said they do not need to go away. And you need to remember this. You do not need to shy away from the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your needs, even if they are so bad. You have heard me speaking to the children this morning. And I do this myself, and every true believer does that. When things go bad, even with you, when you felt bad, you thought bad, you see, you can still come to Jesus. He can clear your minds. And there is no need that he can never meet. And so many are our evenings. We face tough things ourselves. We face huge challenges in our lives. They are like the evenings for the crowds, where they were not sure what is going to happen next, where they were going to get their meal next. Some of them might have been enjoying the teaching of Christ. Some of them might have brought a relative who was sick, because that is what really the text says here. He had compassion on them and healed the sick among them. You see? And so Jesus was caring for those people. He was seeing everything, because the Bible says that he saw, he sees. You see, not only the physical needs, because the Bible says that he when he landed, he saw a large crowd. So he looked even beyond their physical needs. Their need for a savior, for a redeemer. Their need for the one who will care for them. And now we have seen these compassions being displayed. And we have seen how the disciples in themselves were trying really to be clever and to tell Jesus what to do. And now Jesus is going to invite them. This is the third thing that we need to think about. Jesus is going to invite them, to involve them in the ministry, to involve them so that they have a living testimony. Jesus did this. He said to them, you give them something to eat. Give them. And so now their faith is stretched, isn't it? And many times we find ourselves in those situations, isn't it? But the things we need to do, as the scriptures here will just invite us to think, we are to confess that we have nothing, isn't it? You give them. And they said, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What we have is not up to the need that we have before us. What we need. And it will always be like that with us. It will always be with human. And we know even in this church we have a debt we are paying for. How long? For a long time, isn't it? We have people who might have some struggle, physical struggles. We have limitations. At times we find ourselves overwhelmed with the needs around us, even our needs ourselves. We pull our head, how do we go about all these things? And exactly that is what the disciples were doing. But Jesus was inviting them, was bringing them out of their mindset, of their thinking. Jesus is going to open their eyes to heaven. Was going to tell them, like, look, you have come to the right place. You see, you have come to the right place. The provisions of God is abundance. And you are going to take part in this, because later on you are going to proclaim a kingdom that is full of blessings. That is what you are going to proclaim as you yourself would witness, as you will take part in this ministry, as you will see it with all of your eyes. How many times we have seen God doing these things. We are not to look to ourselves and our weaknesses. If you have come truly to Jesus Christ and you see yourself as a vessel before him that he can use, he will use you. Because a container, to contain something, all that they need to do is just to be the container that they are made for. They will hold whatever is put there, isn't it? Whether you are having wheat bix or porridge or anything, whatever you place there, it will stay there. And will serve the purpose. And if you have come to the Lord, whatever he is going to use you for, you will be able to be effective because you are in the hands of mighty God. That is why he said to Jeremiah, don't say I'm a child. You remember that? Jeremiah chapter 2, don't say that I'm a child. I'm not able to do what you are calling me to do. I'm only a child, I'm only a lad. Inexperience. Do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. You see, as a child, you speak to those who are opposing God. Jeremiah chapter 1. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my word in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and plant. The disciples, they didn't know what to do. But Jesus Christ here, he will tell them like, bring them here to me. Bring what you have. Just be a vessel. Just bring what you have to me. Bring it to me. And I will make something out of this. I will bless this. All that you need to do is to bring this need to Jesus. Is to bring this need to the Father. That is what Jesus said. He has involved them. Because he said he wants to enable them to learn the lesson. That they themselves, they will be partners with him in this ministry. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. So he's doing this, something like George Mueller did, isn't it? He had a lot of children before him. That day he couldn't provide food, breakfast for them and the orphanage that he was running. And all that he did, he set them up, you see, and then all the plates there as if the food is going to come. That was faith, exactly. So this is what like Jesus is doing this. He's seating these people even. He didn't multiply food yet. The food is not yet ready. But he knew that he will be able to supply amazingly. That these people will see the sufficiency of the service of God. And together with his disciples, through his disciples, he set the people there. He was not afraid to proclaim the fact that he was going to do something amazing. So faith before the sight. And for us to be able to get things from God, we need to believe before we see. And things that happens most of the time, they happen in the spiritual realm first of all, before even we could see them. Because the moment we see them, it's finished. We are lost in worship and praising God because he has done these amazing things, isn't it? That is what excites us, isn't it? Most of seeing things. What excites us is that the faith that the Lord God will build in our hearts as we trust him. And that is what he delights in. faith in him, because he knows that he can do anything. And so if we, his people, know that our God can do anything, all that we need to do is to pray in our hearts and to believe him, because as we do what he will be doing now, because Jesus will take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. He gave thanks. You see, even before things could happen, he gave thanks. 2 days ago, I was just like, I just saw this post by a Southern Sudanese lady who was like commenting on these very miracles. And I was so surprised, and I had interest to listen to what she was saying. She was saying like, look, we should thank God for everything we have. The clean water. And then she made this statement. She said, because when we thank God for the thing that he has given us, we are inviting him to do more in our lives. You see? Well, I thought that was still correct. She didn't have a theology doctorate. And Jesus now here teaching his disciples that we have to be thankful, to thank God for whatever we have, because even that thing that we have, he will multiply. He will use it for our blessings, as he is going to use it for the blessings of these multitudes. And so Jesus giving thanks and broke the loaves, then he gave them to the disciples. You see, so now the disciples are taking part. And this part is actually really so important for us this morning. Because in a way or another, we are his servants. And the things that we have in our hands, with faith and joy, we believe and we trust that God can use them to bless other people, isn't it? Sometimes they are so scarce, the resources we have, but they can do amazing things with thanks and with expectation that God can continue to use these ones. Even the talents you have, the small talents you have, in the hand of God, God can use it to bless others. And now the disciples, they are just being given these things. And you see how many times, 1, 2, 3, 4, gave. You give them, Jesus said to the disciples. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. You see, it's just about giving, isn't it? God giving. It's all about giving. There's not, you see, it's giving. And then, because even some scholars, they were so silly to think that, because John said Jesus knew what he was going to do. And then they came up with these ideas because they want to get away with the supernatural. They just don't want anything supernatural. They said, oh, Jesus knew that, and maybe he went and he bought just like a chunk of food, and then he hid it in a cave, you see. And then he went there, and then he was passing it on to his disciple, and disciples were distributing it. These are silly theories of just like to deny us the supernatural dimension of the God we worship. Because if Jesus is not supernatural, and then we will have a moralist teacher that is no different than Buddha and Muhammad and others. Because a lot of people are, there are a lot of ethical teachers, the teachers who teach ethics. Even where I was growing up, there some Muslims, clerics and leaders, they were just teaching ethics that are hard to meet, because what we have is not just like natural ethics. It's the Word of God who is in us through his Spirit, producing that what God desires, isn't it? And we can never reduce really our faith into just morals, right and wrong and things like that. It's more than that. This faith has made us to be worshippers, made us to be a holy people of God, to be servants who serve not because we are able, but we serve because we are together with the one who is able to use us and to put things into our hands and put things into our hearts. And for his glory we do this. And Jesus gave this one to them, and they all ate and were satisfied. This is one thing you need to take. Seriously, the Bible always says this, that his gifts are so sufficient. Whatever the Lord wants to do for us will be sufficient. Sufficient grace, sufficient gifts of God. And you see, this word also, we see this in Ruth. You see, when the workers at Boaz's field were working, even Ruth herself, she ate and she was satisfied. You see, it's God who satisfies us with good things. The gifts of God are amazing. You see, they fill us with satisfaction. And they're sufficient and abundant gifts of God. So we see how Jesus met their needs even to the overflow. Because what was left over was even collected into 12 baskets. So we say that really he will give us beyond our imaginations. He will supply our needs to the point of overflow. Only things we need to do is to believe that God is able to do that which man can never do or even believe. But we thank him for his grace that he has given us this faith by which we believe in the supernatural things of God. We can say, oh, we are a people who believe in the supernatural. And you should never be ashamed of this. No matter of the degrees you have, you can have the best degrees on earth. They can never buy you a supernatural miracles. The disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over to speak of the miracles and the overflowing gifts of our God. And even today, you can name your need before him. You can count your many blessings, as we have sung earlier. You count your many blessings. It's a good reminder, isn't it? That we count our blessings that have come to us supernaturally. And so we can expect more things from our God. These miracles teaches us that our God is compassionate, is gracious, and if you come to him sincerely, that is his character. That is what he proclaims to us. He's a loving and he's a kind God who would not want to deny us blessings. And if there are blessings that we are waiting for, he is not denying these things. He's been inviting you to believe and to trust, like he invites the disciples. Give them. You see, you say, believe. Believe that you can take part in this. Believe that you can do something. Trust. He's compassionate. And he is not frustrated by the conditions that we see. He brings down food from heaven. He opens oceans. He dries oceans, isn't it? Before his very people. He drives out their enemies. He strengthens the weak, like Gideon, one of my heroes. I keep mentioning him. You see, the disciples who were not learned, they turned the world upside down. They were so bold in proclaiming the supernatural that no one was believing in. Everybody was a moralist. And we can kill our Christian faith, even in this country, by just being moral people, doing what is right and wrong. How many people who are there doing good, and yet they are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to give thanks to the Lord all the times so that he himself pours out blessings upon our lives as we are thankful people, avoiding grumblings. Because if you want to kill grumbling, you put your trust in Jesus. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by praise and petitions, making your need known to the Lord. He's compassionate. He involves us in what he is doing. He wants to use us, and he wants us to know that his provisions are abundance, are sufficient for whatever need we might have. It doesn't matter how difficult it might be. You see, it's not our business. All that we need to do, we need to believe beyond the evidence before us. The evidence of the difficulties can never stop us from marching on. And we need to do this. You can bring whatever needs you have, the needs of your families, the need of your friends, need for forgiveness and reconciliation, need for excellence in whatever you do, need for healing. Our Lord is able. Let us bow our heads and pray.